So not only did the believers congregate in the temple, participate in the temple prayer services at the time of sacrifice, but they also continued to bring sacrifices. It's 30 years after the death and resurrection of the Messiah that Paul went up to worship in Jerusalem to keep the festival of Shavuot, and he joins four other believers, Nazarites like himself, who have undergone Nazarite vows, and they're going to finish their vow off. So Paul offers to pay for their expenses, and it says, I figured out the math on this. So Paul was offering to pay the expenses of personally financing a sacrifice of 10 lambs and 5 rams, animal sacrifices. And the narrative of the book of Acts doesn't seem to like treat this as if it's anything unusual. Instead, you know, when Paul is making his defense before Festus, he says, it's not more than 12 days since I went up to worship in Jerusalem. What is worship in Jerusalem? And he says, after several years, I came to bring alms, that's charity, tzedakah, to my nation, and to present offerings. Offerings is a nice translation because that sounds like I came to bring tzedakah and tzedakah. You know, I came to bring money and money. That's not it. Offerings is sacrifices. You can check it out in the Greek. The word is equivalent to sacrifices. I came to bring charity and sacrifices. Anyway, we generally would have a problem with this in our minds because you know, from a Christian theological perspective, we'd be like, well, why were the believers still offering sacrifices in the temple? And with Jesus was his final sacrifice, you know? Jesus did away with all the sacrifices. But the thing is that apparently nobody told Paul about that. Because here he is bringing sacrifices, splashing their blood all over. No one told James about that either. James, the brother of the Master. If anybody should know better, it's James, the brother of the Master. But he's the one that suggests to Paul in the first place, says, look, you know what people are saying about you? They're saying that you're not keeping the Torah anymore. You better prove to them that you are. Here's what I recommend. Not only were you going to bring your own sacrifices, yeah, do that, but why don't you pay for these guys too? And pay for their sacrifices. You know what it says about James? Hegesippus says this about James. It's quoted in ecclesiastical history, Eusebius' ecclesiastical history. James used to enter the sanctuary alone and was often found on his knees beseeching forgiveness for the people, so that his knees grew hard like a camel's from him continually bending them in worship of God and beseeching forgiveness for the people. Because of his unsurpassable righteousness, he was called the Righteous One, Hatzadik, James the Tzadik. And Oblius, bulwark of the people, and righteousness. Righteousness. This is James. So the reason I brought you to show you this text about James, where was James every day? He was in the temple in prayer every day. And James is the head of the community, the head even over the 12. I think you're getting the point. If the death and resurrection of the Messiah canceled the Levitical worship system, why was the apostolic community still engaged in that worship system? Why did Paul bring sacrifices? Why was James there every day? Why did the apostles continue to assemble in the temple? What would we say if this was the Gemara? We would say, this too is a difficulty. So far, we've seen that the theology that says Messiah's death and resurrection replaces the temple worship system, sacrifices, and priesthood, and so forth. We've seen that this creates two enormous difficulties, right? Number one, that is an abrogation of the Torah. You can't say Messiah didn't come to do away with the Torah, but he came to do away with the temple system. That doesn't work. You can't have your cake and eat it too in that case, right? The second difficulty is that it is inconsistent to say that Messiah did away with the temple. It's inconsistent with the apostolic community. Instead, we find that the early Jewish believers were essentially a temple sect, still participating in the temple system after the death and resurrection of Yeshua. A third difficulty is the prophetic future. According to the prophets, there is no ambiguity about this matter. According to the prophets, in the Messianic era, the Holy Temple will be rebuilt and its services will be reinstated. And this is a central expectation of Messianic prophecy. And we could spend the rest of the day looking at various prophecies which speak about this temple of the future. I want to show you a few critical ones just to establish the point. We all know this. This is the first fruits of Zion prophecy. It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be lifted above the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it. And many peoples shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, that we may walk in his paths, for out of Zion shall go forth the Torah, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Paul Wilbur. Right? You can't argue with Paul Wilbur. What did you think we meant? What did you think Isaiah meant by mountain of the house of the Lord? Mountain of the Lord, house of the God of Jacob. Or how about this one? On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well-refined, and he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, the reproach of his people. He will take away from all the earth. The Lord has spoken on the mountain. This is the messianic expectation. How about this one? They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. Or this one. Thus says the Lord, I have returned to Zion and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. Jerusalem shall be called the faithful city and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Or prophecies of the new covenant, like Jeremiah.